Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Howard White, who's chairman at Hydrogen Utopia. How are you today, Howard?
Very well, thank you.
As listeners will know, I always do extensive research prior to interviews, especially ones with Hydrogen Utopia. What I've come up with is an article in the Financial Times, which was 6 hours ago, in fact, as we speak. Airlines draw up contingency plans over jet fuel shortage fears. That's one headline. And then another headline from the 11th of March was also from the Financial Times, which is obviously a wonderful publication. US airlines face $11 billion fuel hit from Iran conflict. So that is teeing you up, Howard, for what you're going to say next.
Indeed it is. And I'm sort of looking at the market today and our and the Hydrogen Utopia share price, and the term myopic market comes to mind, because Hydrogen Utopia really has, to use an American phrase, all bases are loaded. It's a baseball term, meaning that a team is about to score a lot of points. We're currently in the Saudi Arabia, which is probably, people looking at it and going, well, that's not the greatest place to be. Well, actually, if you look at this from a contra perspective, what this current climate is demonstrating is that focusing all of your resources for hydrocarbon fuels, particularly Jet A1, aka SAF, because that is what SAF is. It's Jet A1, but produced from a low carbon perspective. What you would be looking to do now is actually find ways of ensuring that there is a supply of a airline fuel that is not reliant upon traditional methodologies and locations that can be disrupted. And it brings to mind, one of our directors had a conversation before this current situation occurred with a head of a major airline who basically said, oh, yes, SAF is great, but we'd like it to get to parity with what we're paying for Jet A1. Well, our price for SAF is around $200. And the last time I looked at Jet A1, it was at $175. So he's almost got his wish that we're achieving close to parity. So it really is, what this should be is not people looking at this and going, oh my God, you know, Hydrogen Utopia is in Saudi Arabia and it's all going to fall apart. Saudi Arabia is not going to fall apart. I mean, whatever is happening is unfortunate, but Saudi Arabia is still going to be around after this current event concludes. And it will be looking even more so at internal investment, which is where we stand, producing a hydrocarbon export product at a very, very competitive rate. And our $200 for SAF is competing with the current methods of producing SAF, which resell at $350, $400. So as far as I'm concerned, this is actually underscoring the technology that we have. We have the technology to take mixed waste plastic, unrecyclable plastic, convert it into hydrogen at a internal cost of $2 a kilo. And not only would that produce SAF at a competitive price, but we could even look at things like the urea market, which is also a huge market, and relies upon the price of hydrogen currently produced by steam methane reforming. But at $2, we are competitive. And I just think that the opportunities now for hydrogen utopia in the Middle East and in North Africa are just expanding at an alarming rate. And I think that for investors, what they should be looking at is not where we are now, but where we are likely to be in the very near future. And I think that that is an opportunistic investment. There needs to be just one event, and we've made it clear that we have an $800 million project being evaluated for funding and moving towards FID, which in Saudi Arabia is a maximum of 15 months away. It's none of this 2, 3 years waiting for EIAs, etc., etc. Things move much more quickly there. And we also have a subsidiary now formed in Saudi Arabia, and we can use that as a base for funding in the subsidiary. So this has opened up a huge number of opportunities. We have worked, our CEO has worked tirelessly on getting us this technology, ensuring that we have it with a method of having it in perpetuity in the region. And it is, for me, the most exciting thing that I have ever been involved in my career in these markets.
Well, there's a few points that lead from what you say. You talked about Saudi Arabia. Clearly, given their current position, they would be very keen to have something which is a plan B in terms of drilling oil and having, I suppose, getting rid of that dependency on the Strait of Hormuz, etc. It's interesting that since 1973, when we had the first oil shock, not that much has been done to get us away from the Middle Eastern dependency, and that geography. And obviously, your technology is something which, it's modular. It can be produced anywhere, even in safe jurisdictions. So you have all that in your favor, and ideally, you'd already be producing the sustainable jet fuel now.
It would be wonderful. I'm sure that if we had five plants in Saudi Arabia producing 3 million barrels of SAF a year, everyone would be very happy because we wouldn't be in the locations or in the strategic locations that are being targeted at the moment, because they're targeting, the major oil production facilities, and Jet A-1 is just one of the products. It's kerosene, actually. From the cracking of crude oil. So we wouldn't have to be next to a facility. And the other point is that because our feedstock is waste plastic, it's ubiquitous over the whole region. I mean, you can just take any country in the MENA region and say, "Do you have waste plastic?" Well, that's a rhetorical question. Of course they have massive amounts of waste plastic because nobody knows what to do with it. So all it is a matter of, can you get it gathered? And if you are producing products like SAF, or for that matter, urea. I mean, for example, I was seeing today that Brazil is extremely short of urea now because of what's happening. They can't get urea out. That's the fertilizer. That's the number one fertilizer in the world. So if we can produce internally, hydrogen at $2 a kilo, we can produce urea at a competitive price. So there are all of these massive opportunities now, and I think that, as I say, when I say all the bases are loaded, all we need is one of these things to happen. Which, remember, it is we're having this interview on Eid, Eid Mubarak, and things now start to move. The last month has been Ramadan, and it's been sort of a slowish time. But now we would expect movement over the next few weeks, and we have been in contact throughout Ramadan. We've had many, many discussions. There are many documents out there being considered, and we are just waiting for that first one, which I think will electrify the stock price.
You put out many RNSs about how well embedded you are in Saudi, and that's given validation to what you're doing and created some excitement as well. Are there any other jurisdictions, and are there any airlines potentially who are going to knock on your door after hearing this interview?
As I said, we were already speaking to a major airline prior to this current conflict, who'd already expressed an interest, and we will be following up on that. But during Ramadan, we've been approached by a number of companies, one particular one in United Arab Emirates, who deploy technologies around the region and are a very serious company, and they are now commencing a due diligence to see whether they want to really take a major involvement in putting forward our technology for SAF and other opportunities in the GCC. That Ramadan has not been as slow as we thought. I've had numerous, I mean, I had more, several meetings in a day with different people in Oman, in Saudi, in UAE, and we've had communications from Kuwait, and all of these are countries that are being engaged in this current situation, and all of them will start looking now more at diversification of the primary hydrocarbon market to a what is effectively a sub hydrocarbon market, but not reliant upon the location of natural resources, because waste plastic is not a natural resource, it's a man-made resource, and it is everywhere. So it means we can deploy anywhere.
So you've got not only two birds with one stone with getting rid of waste plastic and having sustainable fuel, you're actually also got that strategic value of not being potentially in a geopolitical nightmare situation, and I suppose also having a reliable source, and one that which was obviously much cheaper. So I suppose it's four for the price of one, actually.
Well, it's not a case of being cheaper. They actually pay us to take it. I mean, in most countries, they'll pay something for us to take it. We're certainly not going to be paying for the plastic.
Right, so
So
just part,
our feedstock is a positive revenue stream.
So to summarize, would you agree that you are probably feeling as smug now in terms of where Hydrogen Utopia is going and what it has under the bonnet as you have since the company started?
At any time, most definitely.
And the news flow, what will that look like? Will it be partnerships? Will it be MOUs? What's sort of the nature of the game there?
Money.
So monetizing, commercializing is the next step.
Money being made available.
Well, we look forward to that. Howard White, Chairman at Hydrogen Utopia, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.